Mikvos per test mission is Ayin Ilanishma Shraga Fibel Ben Machol Tzvi Mitpacha Shel Zaposim Vishel Yosrim Vishel Mifasle Ilonos. We are still talking about stains on clothing. Aprons used by workers who coat barrels with pitch on the outside, of potters, Yotzrin, and of tree trimmers, Mefasle Ilonos, who cut off thin branches. They are Ein Chotzitzin. They are not Chotzeitz because these workers do not care if their aprons are dirty. They get dirty all the time. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afshel Kayotzin Kayotze Bohan. Rabbi Yehuda says the aprons of fig dryers, a fig is called a kayetz, are also unaffected by chatzitzos, because these aprons are constantly made schmutzy by the fig juice, and the workers pay no attention. Zeh klal, the general rule is, kol ha-makbid olav chotzeitz, any stain or dirt that somebody cares about and wants to remove from the cloth, that is considered a chatzitza, when one is tibbling, for example, the garment in a mikvah. V'she'eno makbid olav eino chotzeitz. But any kind of stain where they're not makbid on it, they don't care about it, they're used to it, that is not a chatzitza. The Rabbanon did add, however, that if there's a stain on the larger part of a keli or a person's body or a piece of clothing, if there's a huge stain on it, that's called a chatzitza, even if the person doesn't care. Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph, the final perek of Mikvos. Kol yodos ha-kelim she-echnisan shelo kedarkan. Any handles of a keli, like a shovel handle, that were inserted into the iron improperly. So like some brooms, where you can unscrew the broomstick from the head of the broom, on a shovel you could remove the handle from the shovel, and if it was inserted improperly, it's crooked, it's askew, or oshech nisan kedarkan v'shelo merkan, they were put in properly but not effectively, they're not tightly in, so it's probably going to come off. Oh, shemerkon v'nishbaru, or they put the handle into the keli effectively, but then the handle's broken, they can't do the job anymore. Hare iluchotitzin, all of these would be a chatzitza if somebody is tiveling the shovel, because since they are not permanently attached, they're not part of the keli, and so it's a chatzitza to the full keli being immersed under the water level. Klishad bilo derech piv. If a keli was tiveled, was immersed into the water with the mouth downward and the bottom facing up, ke'ilu lo taval, it's as if it was not tiveled, because the water can't get into the keli because there's an air pocket in there. You have to submerge it with the mouth facing up or on its side so that all the air is displaced and the water goes in. Sometimes when you're tiveling bowls in a keli mikveh, you see it kind of floating because of the air pocket that got underneath. On the other hand, it bilu kedarko below ziboris. If somebody tiveled it the usual way, but without its appendage, without its extra piece into which water does not enter, then once again we say that the tvila is not effective, unless achiyatenu al tzido, you do it on the side. So if you have a keli with a little extra piece that the water wouldn't go into anyway, but still the keli has to go on its side, rather than right side up or upside down, make sure everything's tiveled at once. Klishu tsar mikanu mikan v'rochav min al-emtza. A keli, and we had a pipe like this earlier in the Masechta, that is narrow on both ends, but wide in the middle, so there's a bulge in the center, and you try to be tivele it. Eino tahar ashi yatenu al-tzido. Also is not considered tahar until you tivele it on its side, because otherwise the water can't go all the way in because of the narrow openings on either side. The apertures are too narrow. So if you put it down horizontally in its usual way, you'll find that the water will not completely immerse every single part inside and out of the keli. If you do it on its side, if you do it vertically when the keli itself is a horizontal pipe, then the water will travel all the way through the tube and everything will be tivled. Tzelochet shepiha shokea. A flask whose mouth, whose opening, is turned inward, meaning downward. So there's air in there, and water can't get into it because the air gets trapped somewhere inside the mouthpiece. If, for example, it's a curved mouthpiece, it's kind of a U-bend, and so it's pointed downward and the water can't get in. Eina tahora acha yinakveno mitzida. It will not be tahor unless it has a hole in the side so the water can go in all parts of the flask, including the mouth, and it can reach everything. So if the water can't get in any particular part of the keli, then the entire keli is not tahar. Kalmarin hedyotos, an ink pot of an ordinary person, of a layman. So the rim and the mouth are turned inward so the ink won't spill if he turns it over. So it's kind of meant as sort of a little bit of a safety to prevent the water from getting out, a little bit like a sippy cup for a small child. Well, in such a situation, because the mouth is turned inward rather than out of the keli, because we're scared we're going to spill it easily by knocking into it, eina tahora achi nakveno mitzida. Similarly, that also does not become tahor unless there's some kind of perforation in the side so the water can get in and can get into the inward turned rim. The Mishnah also says, b'kalmarin shel Yosef HaKohen hoisa nekuva betzida, to show that this was in fact the case, the inkpot of Yosef HaKohen did have one of these holes on the side so the water could get into both the inward spout and the rest of the keli.